Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. I want to get started really quickly here, but first off, I want to thank you for joining me. I hope that you've heard the news about what is going on, and I'm going to go over everything that is up to date. So a couple things. The president had his speech last night. I don't believe that the numbers were terribly great. I know that many of the Democrats were set to boycott him. And then, of course, the Democrats gave their rebuttal after he spoke. And then Bernie Sanders had decided that he does not want to be part of the Democrats. So he, of course, gave his rebuttal alone. Now, I did not catch Bernie Sanders, and I'm not going to talk about that because, honestly, I think it's a moot point. Bernie Sanders stands alone in his own corner. Whatever he is or decides to be is him. And so I listened to the Democratic rebuttal. And once again, you saw Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer standing there, and they talked about the same facts. They keep reiterating that over and over. So, you know, today waking up, Trump is obviously furious. And knowing his history of how he treats and berates women, he's once again on the attack, and this time he's trying to attack Nancy Pelosi's state of California. And I think that he's, like, at a loss for how to come at her, how to really get her, like, shaken. So he today tweeted out, and Twitter is all alight with making fun of this man, because if he speaks, he misspeaks. And he never really checks himself. He doesn't try to be factually true. He can't take just a few extra seconds in the day to, like, spell check things. So he tweeted out that he wasn't going to have FEMA send any more money to California for the forest fires. And he spelled forest F-O-R-R-E-S-T instead of F-O-R-E-S-T. So, of course, you know, Twitter is having a blast with this. But the real context is that he is attempting to hurt California based upon the fact that he wants to strike at Nancy Pelosi. And he has a history of striking at women. I think because this man can't really deal with dissent, especially on the part of a woman. Anytime that you saw a woman come after Trump, you immediately see that he goes on the attack. He becomes very vindictive and strikes at her. Now, I'm sure that this is what his supposed wife is dealing with, that she can't be upset. She isn't allowed to have her own set of emotions outside of what he allows, because if she shows him that face that is angry or, you know, counters him in any way, he's likely to go on the attack with her. And the thing is that we know Nancy Pelosi has been in politics for a long time. She is as steady as a rock. I don't see her blowing up anytime soon. She's been a mother. She has fully grown kids. And any mother knows that when a child throws a temper tantrum, you don't show them your emotions. You simply go on and you do whatever it was that you initiated to do, and you make sure that you follow through. You don't relent to that temper tantrum, because as soon as you do, it's going to be followed by more. Because when children learn that their bad behavior gets them what they want, and Donald Trump is very much an immature, narcissistic baby. So if she lets him get his way this time, he's going to hold more than just the government hostage. I mean, now he's trying to hold the government hostage and FEMA money hostage. And, you know, they just did a news briefing, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. They were talking about the fact that people from these various departments want the government to reopen, that this is hurting them, that they are furloughed, that they're not getting paid, that they have no means or method to get paid, that this is hurting the economy. And, you know, one of the things that Trump has said in a point that he has tried to make, which he fails at this point miserably, is that tariffs on Mexico will pay for the wall. Well, no, tariffs on Mexico will not pay for the wall. That's not the way that tariffs work. Tariffs work this way. If I'm importing a product and it costs me $1,000 to get it in here, and you put a tariff on it that costs me $1,300 to get it in here, and let's say it's 1,000 items, so approximately a dollar value each, and then it's raised to $1.30, I pass that cost on to you, the consumer. So if I'm initially charging you $2, you know, then I'm charging you $2.60. So your cost has gone up 60 cents because I have to ensure, you know, that I have money for more, that I'm covering my costs and my inconvenience, my out-of-pockets, I'm paying my employees, all of that. So tariffs on things that come into the United States don't actually help the United States. Tariffs on things going out of the United States might actually help, but then the country that they're going to has the choice on whether to cut back or pass the cost on the consumer. Now, that's dependent. If you're buying millions of pounds of something, and we're talking about thousands up to hundreds of thousands of dollars, a company might decide, and this is what China has decided about soybeans. They're like, whoa, no, no, absolutely not. So they have bought no soybeans. This is the problem with tariffs moving between countries. So let's say that tomorrow Donald Trump puts a tariff on everything that comes in from Mexico, every single product. Now, he won't, because some of the things that he has for sale on his website come from Mexico or they come from China, and he has made sure to exempt his products from that, which means that ultimately what he is charging, he's making the maximum profit. But ultimately what's going to happen is this. We are going to wind up paying more for it. Not Mexico. There will be no pesos crossing the border. There's not going to be any money extra that Mexico sends to us to pay for anything. Mexico simply isn't going to do it. What Trump is doing is not only costing you initially for the border wall, but because he doesn't understand how economics works, he's going to cost you again. And who pays that? The little guy, the consumer. So not only will you have faith that you're going to be paying more taxes for the $2 trillion that he has run up in debt, you're going to be paying more for tariffs. So he is going to be bringing in all of this money off of the backs of the hardest working Americans, and it's absolutely not right. It's so incorrect. But he says that, well, we need this wall because drugs and guns are coming in free-flowing across the board. No, that's not exactly how things work. Immigrants who are coming here for refugee status or whatever their protected status, where they're permitted to stay, aren't going to be your drug carriers because it's too easy for them to get caught. Who is bringing the guns and drugs, guns out, drugs in to America is vehicles. You see it all the time when customs has to go through products. They've been hidden in vases, they've been hidden in clothes, in buttons, they've been hidden in pretty much anything that has legitimately come across the border. So where are the drugs coming from? They're certainly not coming from the poor guy who can barely cross the border and he's exhausted and he hasn't eaten for days and he hasn't barely drank water for days and it's 100 and some degrees in the sun and, you know, 20 degrees at night. That isn't the guy who is going to carry across drugs. Because let me tell you, it's exhausting for these people to come, period. Let alone for these people to try to drug mule things across. But if you have a car, if you have a plane, if you have massive imports, those are places where it's easier to be able to do that. And that's what is actually happening. You know, this whole perception about what goes on at the border is incorrect, and it just goes to show how little Trump has knowledge of the border, what goes on there, who's doing what. these people are coming to America to work. They're not coming to America to endanger us. They're not coming to America to do anything except for try to build a better life for themselves and their families. And I think that we need to change this perception because it's very harmful to the people who are trying to come here. I mean, you have Don Trump Jr. who's talking about them and saying, walls work. Look, I'm in the zoo. Walls work. Trying to refer to the immigrants who want to come here as if they were animals. And this has got to stop. You know, Tommy Lauren said that people were coming in here like this, and that they're diseased. And Ann Coulter and Donald Trump Jr. and Donald Trump himself, ding, and this deplorable to watch these people refer to other human beings as if they were diseased animals trying to come into this country, create chaos, commit crimes, bring drugs, you know, disrupt the well-being of the United States. This isn't what's going on at all. These people come here, they get jobs at remedial places. So poultry factories, meat factories, cleaning, anything remedial, just basic factory work. They don't have the education and potential to disrupt the lives of those people who have college degrees or, you know, even basically an American who's willing to work. Because you can understand an American who's willing to work. A lot of these people don't even speak English. And that's not a strike against them. It's absolutely in their country. They are completely understood. They're coming here just for an opportunity. I completely understand that because a lot of Americans don't even speak another language. So I'm not trying to be biased towards them in any way. I'm simply trying to put it out there that these people, you know, an American employer would have an easier time understanding somebody who equally speaks English with them and is a hard worker. However, a lot of Americans don't want to work in these remedial jobs. They're stinky, they're dirty, they're long hours, they're very cold, they're very hard, tedious jobs for low amounts of pay. And these people have come here and we have utilized them as a resource for getting things done. And so I want you to understand that when they lie to you and talk about they're taking our jobs, no, they're taking the jobs that you don't want. Trust me. I've seen these jobs. I've seen these people. These people come here, they rent homes, they try to, you know, if they can, some of them try to stay. They try to legitimately get papers. They build families. They build lives. They become good citizens of the country. They try to stay here to build a better life. It's actually, if you saw this, if you got to know these people, you would definitely change your mind about what your perception is. They stick to themselves. Some of the people do party. A few of them get in trouble with the law, but overall, less crime is committed by immigrants than it actually is by Americans who were born and raised here. So if we're going to look at who's committing crimes, we're going to be looking at your fellow Americans. You know, all the mass shooters, they've been from America. Many of them are white males, all right? Many of them are racist. So what does this really say about what's going on in America? Why are we so afraid of poor people who show up at the border willing to work, willing to immigrate and make America a better place for everyone through hard work and dedication, through having a family, raising that family here, educating that family here? Why are we so adamant to degrade them? They don't want food stamps. They don't want our welfare. They don't want our free medical care that many people aren't even getting. What they want is to be able to build a better future for themselves. In their countries, medical care isn't as easy to achieve. It's pay out of pocket. Food and aid and shelter isn't as easy to achieve. And I know I went off on this yesterday, but I cannot reiterate to you enough how much these people are suffering. And when they come here, they need us. They are not dirty in the sense that, like a pestilence. If they come here dirty, it's from sweat. It's from walking. It's because, honest to goodness, it's it's human, you know, I couldn't have a bath in days kind of dirt. It is not the kind of dirt that makes you a dirty animal-like creature. You know, it's not what the Republicans are putting on them. These people are just good people, and they just need our help. And America has plenty of space for immigrants. Look at Cleveland, Ohio. Half of its population left, and over half of the homes, half a million homes were left empty. Those are now being torn down. Chicago, Detroit, various large cities have had over half of the population leave. And so these homes, these buildings are absolutely abandoned. There are whole abandoned areas. There are places where we were building before the economic crash the last time. And they are absolutely empty and now being abandoned. So when it comes to America, we have plenty of land. We have plenty of resources as long as we work on it. And we're not working on it well. You know, this is why Republicans need to lose the power, because we haven't worked well on what is going to help America be a better place. You know, that takes money towards infrastructure, money towards our renewable resources, money towards rebuilding California, money towards global warming, towards solar and wind power, towards things that we can make a better future, a better tomorrow out of, and instead of dealing with what we have now. So when Trump and his administration talk terribly about these people, it's a distraction. But more than that is Trump, I think, he always attempts to distract from something that's worse. And you have to pay attention to this man, because any time that he gets furious and starts lashing out wildly, there's something else going on in the background that's even more wildly inappropriate. Today, Rod Rosenstein said that he would remain until such time as either the new acting attorney general was implemented, or he knew that Mueller was protected. I'm not sure how towards the end that Mueller is as far as making a go of this, but I'm going to go ahead and assume from what I'm seeing and from what we saw yesterday on Paul Manafort, when his lawyers accidentally made two PDFs, I learned what exactly happened. So it was a double PDF. One was put on top of the other one, and the lawyer sent out a copy to the news media, and the news media immediately deleted the one over top with the black lines on it, which was supposed to redact the one behind it, and all of the information was instantly exposed. I think that Trump is trying to distract real hard today from that, because he knows now. I mean, this is why I love and am frustrated by the media. I love that the media is there to expose what is really going on, but in the same token, sometimes the media plays the hand too wild and then gives things away that should just take a minute more to get out there. But from what was seen yesterday, there's a pretty good case for collusion. And I'm thinking that if this is what Mueller has, he probably has tons more in the background of this, because you also have one of the chairmen that worked with the Trump campaign, and he was talking about, oh, well, I deleted these emails in order to keep this computer going. And everyone who knows anything about computers knows that you don't delete an email to keep the computer functioning. If it's old and if it's ready to die, deleting an email isn't going to save it. What's going to save it is, you know, nothing at that point. It depends on what's going on with it. If it's running low on space, well, emails exist in cyberspace as well. So that's kind of a fluctuational thing. Like, you can download your email, but really it has nothing to do with saving the life expectancy of a computer. It has more to do with freeing up space on a computer. I don't know if he misspoke or whatever, but we do know that these people are very corrupt and they're guilty of many things. And so when he's talking about he deleted these emails, you can better believe that it's fishy, because it's not going to extend the lifetime of a computer, no matter what you do. Even deleting emails isn't going to free up as much space, because emails typically are a few kilobytes of information, which is minute at best. So his excuse was lame, and I think that anyone, especially Special Counsel Mueller, would be quick to jump on that. And it's definitely, I do believe that when he said that on TV, it was completely contradicting to things that he had said earlier, maintaining that there was no emails. Now he's changing the story. And the thing is that it is a crime to lie to the FBI. And that's where these people are getting caught up. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, that's ridiculous. Anybody can be indicted for that. Well, no, not really. Because in order for that to happen, there has to be something of special interest that you hold that they kind of already know about. And then you have to talk to them, and you have to be not forthcoming. You know, if he had just said, well, I had some emails and I deleted them, and they were discussing various things about the campaign, he still hadn't lied. Like, you have to go to special efforts to lie to the council. You know, no, there was no emails. No, there was no emails from so-and-so, you know. And actually, one of the people who had to speak with Mueller yesterday was quoted as saying that it felt like a proctology exam. Mueller isn't just asking vague questions. He's asking very intense, thorough questions. And so I'm sure that he got to be asking very thorough questions with everyone. And that's where the trap is snared. Because when you ask vague at first and then you get very specific, going through that line, it makes it easy to catch somebody in their own lies. It isn't a trap that you can set for somebody that's innocent. It's a trap that you can set for somebody who is absolutely guilty. And so I think that all of these things together are really pushing Trump's buttons, because once again, his son is saying that he knows an indictment is coming. And now, I haven't heard this for a while, but originally when people started getting indicted, there were three indictments, and one of them was still sealed. And I do believe, and I think time will tell the tale, but I do believe that Trump is person number one that Mueller has listed for an indictment. And I can't wait to see. But so we have a lot going on, and I think that Trump is going to try to strike further at Nancy, and especially the more desperate it gets. She's not giving him leeway to save face. She is completely holding her cool and making this about him. And because Democrats have done that, held their cool and turned this and said, this is what you said. You said you were going to be responsible for it. You said that you would take credit / blame for shutting down the government, holding it hostage if you didn't get your way. It's really pinpointed it on Republicans, because you can't really turn it unless you're a hardcore Fox News loving person. You can't turn and say that this is any fault of theirs. The House passed a bill that was identical to what was passed in the Senate. It is a bipartisan agreement of how to fund the government. It has gone back to the Senate. Mitch McConnell will not allow a vote on it. Once again, you need to understand that because Mitch McConnell won't allow a vote on it, it can't go to the president, because then he would veto it and everybody would once again see that he is the one and only one keeping government shut down. Donald Trump wants to save face, but he's not, because people know that the Democrats have been ready to negotiate. Nancy Pelosi today said another thing that was important. She said that every time they talk to the White House, they're moving goalposts. Now, this is important because it's sort of like Trump is trying to have a heyday with this. He is trying to get so much out of it. And the more he tries to milk it, the more she is resilient about not allowing him to have what he wants. And she shouldn't allow him to have what he wants. You know, Trump is the kind of madman that if he feels like he can get more and more and more out of you, he definitely will. I know that that's what he did to his contractors. A few of the people that he almost bankrupted said that exact thing. Like, they had done it specific to what he wanted. He wanted some more changes or upgrades or whatever it was. They went back. They went to do this X, Y, and Z, thinking that they were going to get paid. Ultimately, he moved the goalpost again, then threatened to hold them up in court for years and never pay them what they put into this. And ultimately, those people had to settle with him. So he has a long history of doing this kind of behavior. And I think that even though I feel really bad for the people who are furloughed, the people who aren't getting paid, Nancy Pelosi needs to stand strong. She needs to be the one to point the finger at him until he's crushed and giving in because he wants a face and he wants to save, quote unquote, his base. Because if she gives in, if she gives up, he's going to do to her what he has done to so many contractors who worked so very hard to, you know, work on his buildings and the things that he wanted. And I think that now is the time that we really have to set the tone because, you know, the House isn't going to be able to start subpoenaing his taxes, which they are. Until February, they have to set up their committees, they have to get ready, then they have to get, you know, decide what they want to work on. And one of the things is tax records, you know, all of the case that's going on, what is going on with the Mueller case, things like that. They're going to be bringing them forward into committee. They're going to be holding hearings on them. We're going to see hearings on various members of Trump's. His government body. I know that a few of the people is Zink, Dubos, people like that who have already been caught in doing things that are incorrect or inappropriate. So they're going to be going before committee. I think we're going to see a lot of things happen in 2019, but it is going to take a while for that to go on. So we have to be patient, which is very hard, because I know that we would all like him impeached yesterday. He's not a good person. He's not going to be a good president ever. He's an unfeeling, uncaring person that really has no remorse, has no ability to reflect on bad behavior. He wants adoration constantly, and if he can't get that, then he suffers a narcissistic meltdown, and he has to rage and rage until he gets the level of attention that he feels he needs, the level of people fearing him, running from him, you know, giving in to him. That's why he wants his family surrounding him. His family often cater to him. They have learned that this is how they have to operate in order for him to, you know, deal with them kindly. Of course, his kids are more than willing because they want to inherit his billions. And they know that should they dissent from him publicly, that he would lash out at them and try to destroy them. So this is why his children are so protective of him and so obedient around him. He has been a narcissist probably since he was a young man. And I mean very small, because you can tell from the way he has this broken attitude that this happened to him very young. It's probably from having a mother who absolutely was not engaged with parenting. She just was there and she was about the party life. She was exactly like Melania is now with their son. But obviously this is what happened to him. Whether or not it will happen to Byron is, you know, remains to be seen. But the chances are good, especially in having a narcissistic father, a cold, detached mother. Because when Melania was in New York, all she wanted to do was party and, you know, obviously spoil herself. And I think that that's one of the things that she has hated about being in this White House, is that she doesn't have the power to enjoy her lifestyle as she once did when she was in New York. And the White House isn't a gilded gold cage for her. She can't host elaborate parties. Now people won't even talk with her, associate with the Trump. But Donald Trump himself is a very broken child. And if you just see him like that, I think it helps you to understand this is awful. He's a terrible person, and it's not going to get better. And I think as Americans, we really have to stand united in our resilience to try to get him out of office and show the Republicans that it's not okay that they stood with him, that they betrayed the Republic, that they hurt everything. It's not okay with the way that they're treating immigrants. You know, people talk about this whole thing about the immigrants at the border, and when Don Jr. related to them like animals, well, it's disgusting, and it's the kind of thing that happened in Nazi Germany, and I hate that I have to go back there so much, but the fact is that this is absolutely so reminiscent of what happened in Nazi Germany. And I'm very proud to be one of the resistors, one of the people who are willing to speak up and say that this is not okay and that we really need to be diligent about what's going on in our country. And we cannot allow people to be called animals in the aspect of a way to demean them, dehumanize them, treat them with no regard, allow their deaths in these camps, allow them to be destroyed and just treated so horrifically. These people need us to be good human beings, and that's what we should be doing. Instead of supporting horrible walls and racist barriers, we should be strong and united and diligent in our resistance. So that's going to do it for me today. Hopefully I'll get a chance to be back here tomorrow. Until then, I'm very grateful that you listened, and I thank you very much. Take care, everyone.